welcome to episode 58 of the Nightlight Stories podcast, recorded on May 25th, 2013. This podcast tells one original story each episode that will light up the imaginations of children of all ages, anytime, anywhere. I'm your host and narrator, Miss Mel. This week, we have a special guest bringing you a brief summary of what has occurred in the story so far, just to spark your memory. Take it away, Claire.
Hi, this is Claire. Thanks for letting me read for Nightlight Stories. Vivian is a 10-year-old girl who lives with her father. Her grandmother is sick in the hospital. After having unexpected visions, Vivian is finally able to convince her dad to get her a bearded dragon as a pet. She instantly bonds with her new pet, which she affectionately names Pogo. One day, she comes home to find a strange black mark on Pogo's terrarium. More visions appear to help guide her in how best to care for Pogo's needs. As you listen to the second part of the story, consider the following. What's unique about your family?
Pogona Viticeps Part 2 by Chris and Melissa Bouguet. Vivian woke the next morning to sobs coming from the living room. When she walked out, her father's sallow face and puffy red eyes confirmed what she already knew. Nuna had passed away in the night. Vivian ran to Pogo, who scrambled up her arm to nuzzle against her cheek. To some, the harsh, cool skin might have felt awkward, but for Vivian, it was just what she needed. She held Pogo tightly, pressing him against her neck, stroking his back. "I loved her a lot, Pogo, like I love you," Vivian said, looking at her friend. "I'm going to miss her so much. I had so much fun with her. When I visited with her, we'd play dress-up, pretend we were princesses or warrior princesses on missions to rescue knights captured by evil warlocks. We created stories where we were space pilots exploring strange new worlds. We were pirates and angels and magicians. She taught me how to look at the world in a different way, you know, like you do." That morning, Vivian traveled with her father to the hospital to collect her grandmother's few personal items. The nurses had placed everything into a small travel bag. Her father signed some paperwork and said his thanks. By the time they left the hospital, Vivian's throat hurt from holding back the tears. "Vivian, Nuna left something for you," her father said, turning to her while she strapped into the back seat. He let a pendant fall from his palm and dangle from his fingers. Vivian instantly recognized it as the pendant worn by her grandmother every day of her life. Vivian couldn't ever recall a time that she wasn't wearing it. The string was nothing elegant. It was made of a thick black cord, almost like a shoelace. The pendant, however, was a completely different story. One end of a single silver wire formed a loop securing the pendant to the cord. It spiraled down, growing wider, forming a coil around a red stone. It continued to twist further down, securing a purple stone. The ensemble was anchored at the bottom by a third stone, which glistened a hazy blue. Vivian had admired the necklace with every visit. She had asked Nuna on many occasions if she could wear it as part of one of her costumes for a makeshift adventure. Her grandmother had never refused, but she also never agreed. Instead, she had simply found something even more appropriate for Vivian to wear, like grungy pirate boots, a flowery tiara, or makeup to complete her outfit. "She told me that once she passed away, this necklace was to be yours. I know it was very special to her, and she wanted you to have it." Vivian reached out, and her father let the precious jewelry fall into her hand. Without warning, a beam of yellow light exploded from the charm. As the yellow faded, Vivian saw herself in her room moving the pendant in a pattern in the air. There was something, a shadow near her head, like a guardian angel whispering in her ear. Fingers touching the red crystal, Vivian swirled the pendant in the air 3 times clockwise and once counterclockwise. When she finished the motion, the scene was cleared away as if imaginary wipers had swiped it from a windshield. A new image took its place. Vivian was still in her room, but this time the purple crystal was in her outstretched hand as she painted a letter X. The scene vanished in a blink, only to be replaced with a third image that popped into existence. The new hazy vision wobbled and distorted as if someone was shaking a mirror. The shadow still hovered near her head, or was it resting on her shoulder? Her eyes were closed, clutching the final crystal to her heart. A red light emanated from it, bathing the room in a crimson glow. The image of herself took a step forward, and the vision melted away. "Are you okay, Viv?" her father asked as the world came back into focus.
"Yeah, I'm fine. Sorry, Dad. I just got sad thinking about Nuna, that's all. This was her most prized possession, wasn't it, Dad?"
"Yes, it was," he said, turning around to strap in. "It was one of them." She sat silently in the back seat on the ride home, contemplating the meaning of her visions. Twice they had shown her what to do. Both times, they were spot on with how best to handle the situation. When she wanted Pogo, the visions told her how to convince her father. When she needed Pogo to be okay, the visions explained that he was craving a fresh fruit snack. But what did this third set of visions mean? The only thing she wanted or needed now was to see her grandmother again, and waving a few crystals in the air wasn't about to bring her back. Vivian silently urged her father to go faster. She couldn't wait to get home to show Pogo the pendant and try the motions she had seen. Panic. Vivian had heard the word before, but she didn't truly know what it meant until the moment she stepped through the front door. The pungent smell of cinder and ash came at her like a boxer throwing a left jab. Something was on fire. She knew the smart thing to do was to wait outside and let her father investigate. The thought of Pogo being trapped behind a wall of flames overtook reason, and she launched herself into the house. She bolted down the hallway to her bedroom, half expecting to be engulfed by billowing clouds of smoke at any moment. She swung the door to her room open. The smell of something smoldering, like the remains of a campfire that had just burned out, made her eyes water. She blinked, coughed, taken aback by the strange smell of soot. Besides the smell, however, there was no sign of a fire. Vivian held her breath and sprinted to Pogo's terrarium. It was empty. Vivian's heart stopped. She squatted and frantically scanned every corner of the glass enclosure. Her eyes checked his hide, his pool, every branch and every leaf. Pogo was nowhere to be seen. First, her grandmother had left her. Now, Pogo was gone too. Then she noticed the huge hole in the screen her father had purchased for the top of the tank. The mesh was melted away, the weave of metal tinged in a perfect circle almost as wide as the tank itself. Tiny rivulets of smoke spiraled upward from the circle's edge. Vivian placed a finger to the smoldering metal, and it instantly burned her skin. Reflexively, she jerked away, sticking her finger in her mouth. Whatever had burned the wire cover had done so recently. A cool gust of wind blew past her shoulders, causing her hair to flutter gently. The sensation reminded her of a window being opened on a spring day. Except her bedroom window was in front of her, and this airstream came from behind. She turned, afraid of what she might see. There, hovering in midair, flapping two wings, was Pogo. His wings were about the size of a slice of bread and were supported by bony structures jetting out from his back where the scars had once been. He was bigger, too, having grown from 5 to approximately 9 inches if measured tail to snout. Vivian breathed a sigh of relief. Pogo was safe. He was transformed, but he was safe. Pogo smiled a toothy grin, catching the look of surprise on Vivian's face. He spun, once, in mid-flight, to show off his newest appendages. The gesture seemed to say, "Look, Viv, aren't these awesome?" Vivian giggled aloud and heard her father call out to her. "Vivian, what's that smell? Are you okay?"
"Yes, Dad, everything's fine. I'm just checking on Pogo. We're all good." She hoped her father wouldn't come into her room. Not yet. Who knew what he'd say or do if he discovered that Pogo somehow sprouted wings and learned to fly? Pogo, sensing the tension, opened his mouth wide, tilted his head back, and coughed. A stream of bright green flame erupted outward, like an emerald missile launched from a silo. The flames were about 6 inches long, just enough for Vivian to see the spectacle, but not long enough to ignite any nearby objects. It was then Vivian knew what Pogo truly was. A winged, fire-breathing lizard could only be one thing. A dragon. Pogo, understanding the look of recognition, swooped down to land gingerly on Vivian's shoulder. This was the shadowy figure near her head in her latest batch of visions. The mysterious object was Pogo. That meant it was time to try the crystal necklace. An onrush of doubt made her knees quake. Was she really going to do this? Was all of this really happening? Had her grandmother just left her a magic pendant? Had her pet lizard just turned into a real-life dragon? Was she about to wave stones in the air to cast some sort of ancient spell? Or was she just going crazy? Swallowing back her fear, Vivian pulled the pendant off her neck and held it out before her. A bead of nervous sweat rolled off her temple. She looked up to Pogo, confirming once again that her best friend still had wings. He flapped them once in a gesture that said, "They're still here." This was going to happen. Something told her she'd regret it for the rest of her days if she didn't at least try. Vivian closed her eyes, wrapped her fingers around the first crystal, and waved her hands exactly as she had in the vision. 3 times clockwise, 1 time counterclockwise. She repeated the process with the purple crystal, drawing an X in the air before her. Her fingers walked downward to wrap around the final crystal. She pulled it close to her heart and waited. She half expected a vision of Nuna to appear, or maybe for Pogo to speak to her in English to explain things. Neither happened. Instead, a tender voice came from behind her. "It's your time. It's your turn. I knew the second I saw him." Vivian turned to see her father standing in the doorway. He was gazing at her with a look of wonderment. He took a step forward and knelt down on both knees. Cupping Vivian's face, he gazed through her wire-framed glasses into her eyes. He looked at her for a long time, studying her, memorizing every detail. "Promise me you'll come back to visit," he said, rubbing his thumbs along her cheeks. "Come back to visit from where?" Vivian asked. Vivian's father slid his hands down to her shoulders. With all the gentleness of a mother rocking a newborn, he turned her around. "Pull the stone to your heart," he said. "That's how your mother used to do it."
"Do what?"
"Just do it. You'll see." Vivian pulled the stone in close. Pogo reacted instantly. The corners of his mouth pulled back. He took a long, deep breath and then exhaled. A wide ring of orange flame shot out from his mouth. Vivian nearly screamed, feeling the heat against her cheek. The flaming ring shot toward her bed, and Vivian was sure it would explode into flames. Instead, it stopped, floating in midair. In the center of the blazing ring was a desert landscape. Rolling dunes of pink sand sprawled forth with a range of orange mountains in the distance.
"What is that, Dad? Where is that?" Vivian asked in disbelief.
She had never seen anything so majestic and mysterious. She took a step forward, wanting to get a closer look. "I don't know exactly," her father answered. "I'm not sure if it's another world, another time, another dimension, or another time in another world in another dimension. I just don't know. But your mother called it the Dale." Vivian took another step forward. She was close enough to touch the orange flame, but the flame held no interest for her. It was the land beyond that captured her spirit of adventure. She thought she saw a structure rising from the peak of one of the distant mountains. Was it a castle, or maybe a ship of some kind? She needed to get closer to see past the rough outline.
She'd have to step through the portal.
"I have to go, Dad," she said, almost absent-mindedly.
"I know you do, Viv. I know." He fought back the tears. Vivian's father didn't cry often, but the realization that he was upset snapped her out of her trance.
"I'm sorry, Dad. I know this must be hard on you, having just lost Nuna and all, but..."
"You have to go. I know you do, honey," he said, running his hand over her hair. "Your mother had to go, too. She might be there now. You might even find her."
"What do you mean, Mom might be there? Is that where Mom went when she left?"
"Yes. Your mother. I loved her very much. I still love her. She had a necklace like the one you're wearing now. It was given to her by her grandmother. She played with it constantly. She never took it off. Ever. Finally, after months of dating, she invited me to meet her family. That's when I met your grandmother. It's also when I met your mother's dragon for the first time."
"Mom had a dragon, too?"
"Yes. It was a bit bigger than Pogo and had more of a greenish tint to him."
"What was his name?"
"She called him Vito, but I think that was just her pet name for him. His actual name was much longer and harder to pronounce. It wasn't until we were married that she told me the truth about Vito. She told me her pendant was magical and that it helped her communicate, or something like communicate. Not exactly. I don't know exactly. The pendant somehow helped her control or communicate with Vito. Of course, I didn't believe her, and then she showed me. She waved the stone around, and Vito did different tricks. At first, I thought it was just a neat little show, like teaching a puppy to play dead. Then she made his wings pop out and showed me how he could breathe fire."
"Like Pogo?" Vivian asked.
"Yeah, exactly like that. She told me how dragons could breathe different types of fire, and that each type of fire had a different purpose. Of course, fire could be used to burn things, but it could also be used to open a portal to the Dale. We were in love, and she wanted to show me. Imagine how excited I was when I saw what you're seeing for the first time. I couldn't wait to go."
"What is it like there, Dad?"
"I don't know. I couldn't go."
"Come with me now, Dad. You can come with me now. We'll go together."
"Oh, Vivian, that's exactly what your mother wanted, too. She wanted me to go, but watch." Vivian's father reached out a hand, palm flat, and pressed it toward the portal. Blue flame erupted around each finger. Like playing with a puddle of water, Vivian's father brushed the translucent energy. "You see, I can't pass. Maybe it's because I'm a man, or maybe it's because I don't have the right stuff, whatever that is. But you have it."
"I'm so sorry, Dad. I wish you could come."
Vivian didn't know what else to say. She thought about saying she wouldn't go, that she'd stay with him instead. But she knew that wasn't what she truly wanted. Her father knew it, too. "I wish I could come, but I can't. I know that now. I think it is just something the women in our family can do. But you need to go. Your mother left one day when you were only 3, telling me she'd be back for dinner. She never returned. I waited and waited, thinking every day was the day she'd return. She never did, and eventually I gave up hope that she'd ever come back."
"And you couldn't go look for her? That must have been awful."
"It was at first, but I had you to concentrate on. I had you to raise, keep safe, and keep busy. You need to know that you've been the best thing in my life since your mother disappeared."
"What about Nuna? Couldn't she look for Mom?"
"She wanted to, but without her own dragon, she couldn't get back to the Dale. She was trapped here, like me. Nuna, her dragon, your mother, and Vito were all in the Dale together. Then there was an incident, a miscommunication, a mishap. Nuna was separated from the rest of the group, pushed back through the portal, leaving the other 3 behind. Once you have a dragon, that dragon is yours for life. If you're ever separated in the different realms, there's no way to get back. The pendant guides the dragon, and the dragon opens the portal. You need both, working together, to make the portal work." What incident? What happened over there?
There was an accident. Nuna said she thought everyone was right behind her. The portal opened and she went through, expecting your mother and the dragons to be right behind her. When the portal closed, she was alone back here. She never knew what really happened.
That must have driven Nuna crazy. 1 minute you're with your family, and the next they're gone forever?
Well, you know Nuna. She was one tenacious lady. She never gave up. For years, she searched for a way to get back to the Dale, but she said that it was like looking for a grain of sand on every beach, on every coast of every continent. When I told her about Pogo, she knew you were the key to finding out what happened.
But how? Where do I even start to look? That place looks huge!
Pogo will guide you. Work together. Trust his instincts. Your mother always said that answers to problems lit up when she was with Vito. I imagine it will be the same with you and Pogo. Vivian knew this was true. Pogo landed on her shoulder and nuzzled against her neck. They were going to be in this together. Please promise me that you'll come back to visit often.
I will, Dad, I will. I want to find out what happened to Mom, but I don't want to lose you in the process.
Vivian rushed to her father and threw her arms around him. Pogo leapt off her shoulder to hover over the embrace. Go, he said with confidence. Vivian turned and took a step toward the portal.
I'll be back, Dad, she said as she looked into the land she was destined to explore.
I don't know when or even how, but I'll make it back to you, I promise. Vivian placed one foot over the flaming circle. She would find her mother. She would bring her back. This new challenge wasn't anything she couldn't handle. She wasn't alone. Looking at her faithful companion, she stepped into a new world.
We hope you enjoyed the story. We'd like to send out bright birthday wishes to Drew M. from New York, Alex P. of West Virginia, Katie P. of Colorado, Elise of New York, Zoe of West Virginia, Molly D. of Virginia, Luke of Texas, and Kim of the Musing Mommies podcast. We want to send out a special thanks to our friend Claire for introducing part two of the story for us. Thanks, Claire!
Phew! It's been a busy year. Summer vacation is upon us.
Mr. Chris and I have decided to take a small break for the summer from producing new Nightlight stories. We're going to use that time to continue to submit stories to different publishers. While we're away, we encourage you to go back through our 58 stories and re-listen to some of your favorites. Please tell others all about Nightlight stories while you're visiting with family, splashing in waves, or waiting in line to ride a huge roller coaster. We look forward to watching the glow grow brighter with the many stories we can share together. Have a great vacation, everyone. We'll see you in the fall.